This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 in the evening. You are listening to Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman. And on Popek today, we're talking about workplace bullying. So new research has found that this sort of bullying can cause serious effects on physical health on the people who experience it. So it's not just mental, and that includes higher risks of, for example, cardiovascular illness and diabetes.
Yeah, so in this 2018 study by the University of Copenhagen, the researchers analysed data from almost 80,000 male and female employees in Sweden and Denmark, and it found that 8-13% of the respondents who said that they'd been bullied were 59% more likely than the other volunteers to go on to develop a cardiac-related illness, things like heart diseases or stroke. And they also found that the more frequently participants said that they were bullied, the greater that risk.
And in a similar study by the same team, they found that a recent history of being bullied at work was associated with a 1.46 times increased risk of developing type 2 diabetes over the recurring decade.
And that's quite scary, right? Because basically everything that we've said so far, heart disease, stroke, diabetes, these are kind of long-term illnesses, or they are at least illnesses with long-term after effects. Mm-hmm. And so it's quite frightening because we talk about mental health as something that goes unseen, right? Like you don't always know if somebody's mental health is good or bad. Like when you're looking at somebody from the outside, there's no real way to say. And the same is true of these illnesses. Yeah. Like they're all very hidden and very internalized. So it's quite frightening.
Yeah, you know, though there are some caveats to this, right? You know, the researchers did acknowledge that for some of these candidates, they might already have pre-existing vulnerabilities in both their physical and mental health. Though they did also say that the link between bullying and physical illness could be directly linked because of rising stress hormones, and the victims may actually adopt harmful coping behaviors like eating and drinking way too much.
And that's not the end of it, actually, because there's been other research that found that, you know, people who happen to witness workplace bullying, they also may experience adverse health effects on their, you know, physical and mental health as well.
Which is quite crazy.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, we got a few people to speak to us about, first up, whether they've been bullied or whether they knew someone who was bullied at work.
I mean, I think it's a very common thing, especially in like Asian sort of work culture. And sometimes it just gives rise to sort of like a toxic work environment. So yes.
I think that when it comes to this kind of cases, we'll likely see less of it. Or rather, I feel that even if it does occur, people tend to keep to themselves. But I think that's a lesson that people are trying to learn moving forward. You know, to speak out. There's been a lot of cases over the last few years that, you know, we need to speak out about this kind of things and not keep to ourselves.
Well, it was my first job and I really wanted to learn with that company. So I stayed through, but at one point I felt like, am I really that stupid? Because I've day in and day out, my supervisor would always like scold me, and it's not just like constructive criticism, but to the point of like where she would scream and yell in office. And we're in such a small team. It's just me and my supervisor, and we're in like a small, tiny room. So I think after 2 years, I felt that I learned as much as I could. And at a certain point, like, I feel the environment wasn't healthy and productive for me, and that's why I left.
I don't think we, at my present company, that we have someone has been bullied. If there's any, our supervisor or team lead will consult the person and take action. How is supposed to work together as a team?
I know a friend who has been bullied at work, so they thought that as an intern, you can like ask them to do any jobs whatsoever, so like you can dump like all of this long and tiring work to those interns, and then they're gonna do it. So it was a bad experience for her.
And they also spoke to us about how they've seen organizations handle these issues of workplace bullying.
I did raise it up to the higher management, but they didn't do anything about it, so that's why I left.
I feel that, you know, with each company, they have their own ways of dealing it. Personally, my own company, you know, of course, there would be someone that would look into this matter, this case, a verbal warning or an expulsion as well from the company itself.
So in my experience, it wasn't someone who was just a supervisor. It was actually someone who was very high up, who actually was leading the company. So obviously, there wasn't really a lot of things to be taken into account. There wasn't really an HR, and even if there was an HR, that person is also under this perpetrator of bullying. So yeah, they didn't really do anything, but I also left. And I think that it does affect you a lot because you spend 8 hours in this environment. And if it's not a healthy environment, then it does definitely affect your mental health. So yeah, better off looking for somewhere, an environment where you can thrive.
They will investigate, and if there's any bully happen, they will take action and maybe give a warning letter.
She tried to bring up the matter to the higher authorities. However, like, the higher authorities were saying that, oh, it's part of the internship process and it's part of the work culture. So you just gotta like suck it in for now until you earn like a stable job, and then you probably can get out of this cycle.
So those were some responses on the subject of workplace bullying. And I have to be honest, I didn't expect so many people to have experienced it.
Yeah, it's so scary that sometimes it's just seen like, well, just learn all the skills you can from this workplace and then leave despite all the bullying. Or, you know, sometimes it's like you can't even change that culture in that particular company.
I think sometimes you find that, you know, you are in it without you knowing it. Like, it's like, in deeply inherited in that company culture. So like when you're part of it, it's almost as if you feel like you are the problem instead of the company culture.
Sure.
So I think the worst part of workplace bullying is that it changes your value system or your expectations about, you know, what is wrong, or I mean your standards, I mean what is wrong and what is right. And so what happens is that if you happen to be in an office where the boss is, let's say, dishes out a lot of tough love, for example, and you see other people seemingly like they can cope with it, and then you start to question, oh, maybe I am the problem. Maybe I am the one who's not strong enough. Maybe this is how it's done in the industry or how it's done here in the office. So maybe I am the one who needs to change. But in fact, you know, that is not the case. You are in a toxic workplace and you need to change things there.
That's also something to say, I think, about the inherently hierarchical nature of most jobs. Because I think the people who are most vulnerable to workplace bullying are the new ones, right?
Yeah.
And the new ones tend to be the young ones. And then it's kind of a compounding issue. And most workplaces, like you've both said bosses, and I think that that's because the expectation is most workplaces still function on that kind of ladder. You know, you come in, you work under people, you have a team lead or you have a manager. And I think in both those instances, how do you have any say in the culture? Right? If it's already like that, and if most workplaces are hierarchical and therefore people above you naturally have more say and more power, then I think it's especially difficult to voice out, you know, if anything is wrong or if you don't feel something is right. I also think it's interesting that the study talks about whether or not people felt they had been bullied. And I think that's a very crucial point because a lot of people might not recognize that they are bullies. A lot of people might not recognize that the action that they are performing is that of a bully. And yet the person that you're speaking to might feel that they've been bullied and experience all these adverse effects anyway. So it's a bit of a tough one to talk about because we're venturing into the land of feelings in a professional work sense. And that's very difficult to identify.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just on that note about the vulnerability, right, I think it's also compounded by, you know, the illness aside, it's also compounded by the fact that if you are vulnerable, if you're coming in fresh and new to the company and looking to, you know, slowly climb up that ladder, right, then if, let's say, you say something, you want to speak out, if that happens to affect your career, if that happens to, you know, somehow block the promotions you could possibly receive, sometimes you think, well, maybe it's just better to not say anything.
Yeah. So let us know what you think. I mean, is this something... We're talking today about how workplace bullying can actually have effects on your physical health, not just your mental health. And we'd like to know whether this is something that you're familiar with. You know, have you experienced workplace bullying? Has it been something that's been part of your working life? Call us and let us know, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us on the line is Dr. Eugene T, Senior Lecturer of Psychology at Help University. Dr. Eugene, it's good to have you with us. So let's start with this. How would you define workplace bullying?
Right. So academically, from a scholarly perspective, workplace bullying is often defined as, and this is an important term, a pattern of behaviors in which individuals or groups use unreasonable aggressive tactics against coworkers or subordinates persistently. And I stress the term persistently here. So as the term generally suggests, such behaviors occur within the context of a professional environment, though the bullying itself is unprofessional, detrimental, and destructive in both nature and consequence. So this broad definition also distinguishes bullying from harassment. Bullying is intentional. Harassment may not necessarily be so. And further, what research is really out there usually considers that a series of actions as bullying if there's an element of intention and repetition to it. But long story short, both harassment and bullying are often about psychological rather than physical power. They do lead to a host of negative psychological consequences.
And why does bullying at work typically happen? Is the workplace where adults tend to get bullied the most?
Yes, absolutely. Well, for a multitude of factors, we could be here for the next hour discussing every single reason or environmental factor that leads to bullying. But I'm just going to give you just some of the key ones. So competition over organizational resources, for one. So if they have personal agendas, intentions to manipulate, to exploit others, these also lead to bullying becoming part of a toxic organizational culture or company culture. Can also form part of the internal political environment. Now, we know most organizations, not all organizations, have internal politics. We like some people. We often give favors to some people over others. We prefer working with certain team members compared to others. But I would think that this spills over into bullying if the behavior becomes repetitive and it becomes detrimental and destructive, not just to the target, but to the organization as a whole. I'm also going to hazard a guess to say that there are contextual factors such as organizations which cultures emphasize hierarchy and status, if they play on interdepartmental loyalties, if there are silos, a cultural high power distance, meaning that we accept that there are differences in rank and status and hierarchy from a national culture point of view. So these are just some of the factors that might lead to bullying in the workplace.
Are there instances where something like feedback and criticism gets mistaken for bullying and vice versa?
Of course. I think the behavior needs to be repeated. Actually, not think. I'm sure that the behavior needs to be repeated. So a one-off criticism might be an indication of a bad day on the part of, say, your supervisor, say he or she's giving you a performance appraisal and just seems to have come off a little bit more harshly than usual. But if the criticism and focusing the highlighting of your slip-ups, your mistakes, your errors in the work, and then, say, publicly sharing it or divulging this information, which is to the parties that should not be privy to it, and if it's, again, done repeatedly, then that's a little bit more indicative of bullying than just a bad performance appraisal or, you know, your supervisor just having an off day on that particular time.
So normally when we talk about bullying, I think we're thinking more something, you know, that happens during childhood or during one's teenage years. Can bullying when you're an adult be distinguished from bullying that takes place during, you know, that period of adolescence? What are the differences?
Maybe let's start with the similarities. I think there are both forms of bullying involve acts such as aggressive communication. So it can be through the use of offensive humor. We know adolescents, teenagers also do this. They do this via social media. There's also an intention to humiliate. And in some rare cases, it might even escalate to actual physical aggression. What I think distinguishes between these forms of behaviors with the kind of adult bullying that we're looking at more in the workplace is that adults in the workplace are a little bit more subtle about it. So an offhanded, say, passive-aggressive remark, deliberate delay in work tasks, so bottlenecking a project, for instance, and doing so deliberately, I'm guessing assigning someone a meaningless or less important task, spreading rumors about one's personal lives through the organizational grapevine. So I would think that these are more evident in the arsenal of an adult rather than an adolescent bully. So subtlety, but still it's going to lead to detrimental outcomes, like I mentioned prior.
And from an organizational standpoint, right, is workplace bullying an issue that gets much attention?
I don't think it gets as much attention as it needs. And this might be made worse by, as we discussed earlier, the assumption that, well, you know, in quote marks, everyone just has one of those days at work. So it could be just a bad, you know, relationship that you have with your boss. And people go through all of that. So I think part of this lies in the fact that we don't often recognize what bullying actually is, even if such acts are repeatedly used against us. So consider some, say, possible indicators that you might just be the target of bullying. Say, are you asked to stay back at work? Attend a meeting just as when you were packing up to leave. That's one of them. I think we've all been there before. Are you deliberately being excluded from key projects and meetings and then being blamed for, again, in quote marks, being uncooperative or maybe excluded from social events. So I think these are experiences that people don't typically label as being bullied, but the emerging evidence suggests that they are. And just to make sure that we don't pin this on the victims of bullying themselves, organizations may also see such actions as friction, just normal day-to-day conflict in the workplace. And, you know, if you give it enough time, it'll actually go away. So effectively, what's going on is that organizations are also, in a way, turning a blind eye towards the perpetrators of such acts.
Right. And I guess that must happen quite a bit where bullying gets underplayed or kind of swept aside by management. Does this come down to a lack of mechanism or protocol on workplace bullying?
I agree. I think that's, you hit the nail on the head right there. I think while most companies have policies and mechanisms for workplace harassment, sexual harassment, for instance, my suspicion though, I can't confirm this for certainty, but my suspicion is that few of them have clearly outlined what workplace bullying is, what constitutes bullying. I think we're still some organizations, I don't think they even have policies to address workplace sexual harassment. So I think bullying is even less well-defined. And so as a result, I think we don't have a clear understanding, nor do we have the mechanisms and policies for even first identifying and classifying what we would consider to be bullying in the workplace.
So, you know, another interesting bit from the research that we spoke about earlier was that employees who witness the bullying of other colleagues may experience adverse health effects themselves. Could you explain how that might happen?
Psych majors out there might see of this as an example of a bystander effect. I have a different point of view, though. So learned helplessness is one, the fact that we observe, see, and then come into contact with the bullying of another. But then we also then see that there's no action being taken, that whatever complaints are being lodged towards senior managers or authorities in the organizations, they're not actually responded to. So we feel as a result that there is nothing that we or our colleagues can do to cope with bullying in the workplace. I'm also going to cite another line of work that doesn't have a lot of attention. I think our listeners are familiar of whistleblowing. But the sort of opposite of this is something called organizational silence. So designed to keep quiet, keeping mum, and just feeling that, you know what, I'm gonna be safer if I don't rock the boat, if I don't bring this up, if I don't tell my boss about this incident that I've observed in the workplace, the bullying incident. So that keeping mum and not being able to voice out the transgression we just observed leads to even more helplessness, rumination, feelings of insecurity and persistent fear of acting in a way that would also attract the bullying towards us. We become almost like the target of the bullies ourselves. So we decide to keep quiet about it. So silence.
Well, if there aren't any company policies in place, then what are some of the ways we can keep our health intact without, you know, having to bottle it all up or leave our job?
I think it would be prudent that, say, in the absence, like you said, of any organizational system or policy to safeguard against bullying, then a prudent first step, I would say, is to amass sufficient evidence, communications between the bully and the target, for one, before deciding to bring this to relevant authorities in the workplace. So being singled out and being treated unfairly, negatively, aggressively by the bully, sometimes this goes unobserved. So as another suggestion, one more direct approach, as I've come across to a quick read just now, involves something called an out-of-the-blue intervention. So catching bullies off guard and in the act, drawing attention to these actions to colleagues in our workplace that we trust, and then this also brings the full force of the attention towards this bully for further inquiry and disciplinary action. And this might lead to some inquiries as to whether this person really is behaving persistently, consistently through all these destructive behaviors. If such a confrontational approach is not feasible, then I'd say the first step might be to seek social support from mentors, confidants, trusted supervisors before acting on any of the bully's actions.
And finally, a question for companies. What are some of the ways a company can create and maintain a zero tolerance policy for bullying?
First and foremost, a clear description of what constitutes bullying in the workplace, distinguishing it from harassment and conflict. I'm big on definitions. I think if we want to pin down interventions, policies, rules, guidelines for knowing what it is that we're dealing with, then a clear definition is important. And of course, that subsequently can lead to adopting a zero tolerance approach for such behaviors. An exploratory study conducted about bullying in Malaysia by the Malaysian Institute of Management suggested handbooks, but adding to that, I think briefings, role modeling collegial and supportive work behavior should be encouraged. I'm going to cite an example from my own line of work, academia. So it's no surprise that academic environments with the whole publish or perish, publish your research or you don't get that tenure or the promotion. So academia is actually a good environment to actually examine competition and politics. So there's a whole lot of destructive emotions such as envy, jealousy, and pride that play into internal competition and sort of competition for such grants. So long story short, what I can suggest is that some universities, especially in the UK, have decided to base part of their staff's performance review on social factors, niceness, pro-social behaviors, willingness to assist to mentor junior staff. So in the same way in which we develop policies to inhibit undesirable behaviors such as bullying, then companies can also take that leap forward to develop policies to encourage desirable ones. And that's another way in which we can combat bullying in the workplace.
Eugene, thank you so much for weighing in and for sharing those suggestions. You just heard from Dr. Eugene T, Senior Lecturer of Psychology at Help University, speaking to us about bullying in the workplace. If you have any stories to share, call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.